T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Championship rounds. Drolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is outstanding to have you with us today on this Monster Monday. Brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows, as well as our friends at Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. Call of the game coming up in about 26 minutes at 9:30. The Warriors played last night. They lost to the Orlando Magic 100-96. If you listen to Warriors wrap-up, the guys gave you the call of the game. If you know it, call us at 9:30. And if you call it accurately before we play the highlight, boom, $50 to Schroeder's. There's no rollover on this. Like, the listeners are knocking this thing out of the park. And even if you don't know, call up and take a shot. Just pick a highlight, a Warrior highlight. Take a shot at it. Val in San Francisco, thank you for being so patient and waiting on hold. We always want to treat the billions with respect. Welcome to the show, Val. What did you think about yesterday's performance with the Niners and the Ravens?
I thought that was so much fun to watch. Just as a football fan, watching that was awesome. That was just a good game. Honestly, I don't feel too bad for the Niners losing. I thought it was a very tough test, obviously. So I'm okay with the loss and looking for better things ahead. Had a question for you guys. Never too soon to start looking ahead. Speaking of which, if the Niners' only loss is going to be to the Saints from here on out, and Seattle's only loss is going to be to the Niners week 17, how are they going to decide that tiebreaker? Because I believe they will have beaten and lost to pretty much the same opponents. So what comes next?
All right, so both teams would be 13-3 in your scenario. So we appreciate the phone call, Val. Thank you very much. The Niners, the assumption here would be to lose to the Saints and then win out, which means a win over Seattle. Then Seattle, obviously, their third loss becomes the Niners at the end. Initial tiebreaker is the teams against one another. That would be a split, which then would mean, I believe, your divisional record. And you would each have, what, one loss within the division?
Correct.
So then I believe it goes to the conference record.
Common games first.
Common games.
Which is what Val is saying is if you also lose to the Saints having beaten Seattle, both teams lost to Baltimore, I believe the common games record would also be the same, and then it would go to conference record.
Okay, so the order for division is heads up first, yep. Then divisional record,
yes.
Then common opponents,
correct.
Then conference record.
Right, okay. And then something called strength of victory, and then strength of schedule. I don't know if strength of victory is just your points for, points against, or if there's some other way. I haven't seen a definition of what strength of victory is. But that's the fifth tiebreaker down the list.
Yeah, because they have the same thing. They both have lost to each other, the Saints and the Ravens.
Right, and so it would come down to conference record, and I think if Seattle beats Minnesota, then they would have the same conference record across the board.
Strength of victory. So I guess that what that means is for the tiebreak, every year, the two games that aren't decided by your divisional crossover, your conference crossover, or your divisional games are the team that finished in the same position as you in the two divisions within your conference you're not going to play. So this year, for example, you're crossing over with the NFC South. The Niners finished what? Second worst in the NFC West last year. That means they get the second worst team from the NFC East, which was the Redskins game, I guess.
Yep.
And then the second worst team from the
the South, which was the Tampa game.
The South, because they crossed over with the North, which was the they played Tampa. They crossed over with the South.
Because they played all the teams in the South. Yeah, so they crossed over with the North, which would be the game against Green Bay, because Green Bay took
No, they crossed over with the South, which means they got Green Bay, because Green Bay was second worst in the division last
year. That's what I meant.
Okay, so now we got it. So Green Bay and Washington were your crossovers. So one good, one bad. And then the crossovers for Seattle would be
Minnesota tonight.
Minnesota, which is so you're going to root for Green Bay to finish higher than Minnesota. And then in the East, who they end up drawing? They played Philadelphia. They went to Philadelphia, played the Eagles, and they kind of stink. Although they're better than the Redskins, which would be unfortunate in this. Man, this is a tangled web. Handle your business in New Orleans is basically the moral of the story.
Exactly.
Right. Just win out.
win out and everything's fine. Sorry, Val, win out. That's the answer to the question, is it not?
No question.
It's asking a lot, to be honest with you, though.
It really is asking a lot, because then you get this scrimp to schedule. You talk about, you know, power rankings, all those. I just think you got to win out, which I think that they have a great chance of winning out. I think when you look at their schedule, you look at the Saints, you look at the teams that they have, the Rams, you know, Atlanta, and Seattle. I think it's going to be at 13-2 when you meet Seattle, and just come down to who wants that game the most. And I think that might be the one that's going to give you that number one seed, need be. And I think it can happen.
I got an idea. 4-game money line rollover parlay. I'm in, Coach.
I'm in
this time. So it'd be for those. So for those who, if we start the season, we same way we end it. For those who don't know what we're talking about, we started the season on the show with
this.
A 4-team rollover moneyline parlay. What that means is we had a conversation in August where it was like, what if the Niners start 2-2? What if they go 4-0? And it was like, 4-0 is crazy. They're not going 4-0. It's like, well, what if they do? And then we worked on the point spreads. And then as we said, if they go 4-0, why don't we just bet them? We'll bet them on the money line, which means no point spread. They just need to win. And then we'll take the winnings plus the initial investment. We'll roll it over, which we did for Cincinnati. And then we won that. Then we rolled it over into game 3, which was Pittsburgh. Then we rolled it over to game 4, which was Cleveland. And we said we were stopping at 4. We were not going to get greedy. We were stopping at 4. The initial investment, $100 me, $100 low, $20 Anna. The 220 turned into about, I think it was just shy of $1,800.
Yeah.
So now we could do it to close out the season. Moneyline at New Orleans. And then what's the game after that? Is it the
Atlanta.
The Falcons? Home against the Falcons, so
home
you'd be a big
Rams.
Favorite. Home against the Rams, probably a favorite of reasonable size. And then at Seattle, where you'd probably be a dog. One risk with this, if we say we're doing it and we're going to see it through, if something goes really south for the Seahawks or really south for the Niners, that Week 17 game could be off the table. One of them could just be sitting everyone. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Totally.
Like if Seattle loses tonight, the team that's the 5 versus 6 wild card, well, yeah, it could be close because of Minnesota and Green Bay. But you get what I'm saying. So
right.
We might want to put that caveat in there. We roll it 3 times, and then if that game becomes
a funky game.
I want to roll the 3, and if that one, let's just do that.
If that game is on the line, if both teams are playing to win,
yes.
Then we are going to roll into that.
I'm
We're going to do it?
I'm in. I like that. Believe it or not.
Do you feel as confident about this one as you did the original one?
That's what I was just
In hindsight, that's a joke, those 4 teams.
I was just getting ready to say that. It's crazy you mentioned that. I was getting ready to say that. I'm way more confident than that than I was then.
You're more confident now with these opponents in Seattle?
Because I've seen it. I've seen this team play. We were all – that was a hedge. We looked at them, and I said – I looked at that defense, and it was still speculating.
Yeah, I didn't know they were going to be great.
No, exactly. I said, that's going to be a good defense. That defense is going to be the top 10, top 12. Sorry, Dibs. I always say top 12.
Nice.
I knew the defense was going to be formidable. I said, this – I didn't expect this running game to be what it was. I didn't expect Jimmy G to do what he's doing. And I did not know Debo would come and emerge on this scene, and didn't know E-Man, Samuels, they would have him as well. So when I look at it now and you say, I feel way more comfortable in what we have these next 4.
That is saying something about how far this team has come.
It is.
Because you're right. We didn't think Cincinnati would be that awful.
Right.
Tampa Bay, they're 500-ish.
Yeah.
So they're kind of right where we thought
right.
they'd be. I think Pittsburgh was viewed as a tougher opponent, but
yes.
then Big Ben got hurt, so it was a break. And I think we viewed Cleveland as tougher than they turned
Absolutely.
Out to be. This one, we kind of have a lot more information at our disposal.
Right.
The Atlanta game should be winnable. The Rams game should be winnable. The other two are just...
The other two are...
We could go 0-1 right out of the gate.
Yeah,
I never
we
made
could.
A bet I didn't like, though. I'm going to be honest with you right there.
That's for sure.
You're in on this, too?
I'm in unless the Texans want me out because I'm a mush. Because
Interesting.
I've been against the Niners virtually every week, and... You know, when I pick the Niners and they lose, I'm scapegoated. I'm not saying that's wrong. Maybe I'm rightly scapegoated. So if I go in on a Niner bet and they go to New Orleans and lose, I could see where people would want to point the finger at me. So I'll leave it open to the callers and the texters at Chilton Auto Body Text Line 95795.
I want you on this wall.
You need me on this wall?
Yes.
I think the decision comes down to you. It's your money.
Oh,
it's like the great debate that always comes down with hedging. Man, what an idiot. He should have hedged that parlay. He could have had $20,000. It's not your money. It's your opinion. Great.
opinions are like, you know what? Everyone's got one.
And they all stink.
Yeah. The reality of the situation is your money. If you want to hedge or you don't want to hedge, it's up to you. This scenario, it's your money. I don't think you have to put it out to anybody. I love the callers and the texters, 95795, Chilton Auto Body, if you want to get in. Should dibs be kept out? We will ask anyway.
Sure.
But it really ultimately lies with you.
Well, I'm in then because
I like the idea of if we don't win, we can blame him for mushing us.
No, that's good
because we're hot.
It's good. I was actually running hot at Golden Gate Fields on Saturday. So, things going my way a little bit. My buddy had a couple horses in there, so we were able to get down on a few of those races, hit a couple trifectas. So
there you go.
Running a little hot here.
I want to push a couple chips to the table.
650. I'll Venmo 100 for this bet. We got people that want to get in with us. Just create our own little mutual fund.
Wow.
Let's go. Let's get in this thing.
Look out. Who are investment companies?
Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Look out, Buffett.
Look out.
Look out, Ray Dalio.
Well, look out.
We're coming. I'm coming for your principles.
Look out.
We should probably take Jimmy Buffett down first before we take on Warren as we climb the Buffett ladder.
We should probably aim a lot lower. Let's go after Madoff first. We could probably beat Madoff because he was just robbing
people. Bring it, Bernie.
So we'll just be legitimate and we'll already beat Bernie. And then now that we've got a win under our belt, we'll work our way up.
Nice.
I think that's a smart move rather than go right to the top.
Game of Death when Bruce Lee has to go up level to level and he finally takes on Kareem, in the big semifinal. Oh, it's a must.
Sounds like a great analogy, though.
It's a great film.
The 5-1-0, I want you in for the Niners to lose, Dibs. That's what they hit you with.
Now that right there.
Stay away, Dibs.
Yeah, here they come. Here
Don't
come the haters.
This,
I
Dibs.
See them too, Dibs.
Haters in the building.
Dibs, this is your money. You can do whatever you like for it.
Appreciate that, Joe. I'm in. I want to be part of the team. I felt left out last time.
You're going
to
win.
I left myself out, so it's not like you guys did anything to exclude me. I excluded myself, and I've been kicking myself ever since.
Ultimately, Lo, if we win, we make money, and if we lose, we blame him. It's really a beautiful proposition
for us. And the thing about it, it takes place before Christmas. During here, all these games are sitting great.
No, the Seahawks game is after Christmas.
Yeah, but
so we're going to have to sweat all the way through the holiday.
Ooh, that's true.
Shout out Kwanzaa.
All right, we'll do it. How much are we doing it for? We probably shouldn't announce that on the air.
No,
that
probably not.
I'm just going to go 5 cents. I'm just going to go nickel.
Really?
Yeah.
You're ramping up a little bit.
Yeah. You got five on it?
Happy holidays to you. You got a birthday coming up.
I got to pay for that door and tree, Joe.
Yeah. Mo's not betting with winnings. Right. He's betting with debt. He's trying to get back. All right. I see. I've been there, too.
Let's
I know
go,
what the Sunday
Joe.
Night chase is
Let's
like.
Let's go.
All right. I'm in. Right now, we got the Saints game is a... let's see. We're a 3-point dog in that game. Let's see what our money line price is as of now.
Let's get a little crazy.
A couple things we have to throw out there, though.
We
need protocol to be established so that there isn't any. I think everyone was fine with how I did it last time. The wager not being made until generally right around kickoff. Now, if I'm told we want it now, we think this is the best possible price, I'm happy to do that.
Right.
But if I don't have anyone coming to me, it really lands on my plate to make the decision, and then I don't want to hear any flack.
I defer to your expertise.
But I don't want to hear any lip is what I'm saying if you don't like the process.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Let's get this recorded and filed away.
Well, let's mark the tape on this one, actually, for the first time. I think Lo and I
both
defer to you, Joey Point Spreads. I think you've got your finger on the pulse to the point where we trust you to pull the trigger at the right point.
Yeah.
Roughly plus 140 right now. Plus 140.
Okay.
Plus 140?
Yep. Yeah, because they're 3-point dogs.
Oh, they're dogs.
Yeah, so this is one of the good bets for us.
Okay.
This is the one that brings back rating.
Ouch, buddy.
And they've covered the spread. Every game is a dog this year. Although we're not playing the spread, we're playing the money line.
Buddy,
but they've won three of them outright.
Buddy, this could be a good day for you, Dibbers.
Buddy.
You're excited.
Dibs,
go down to the corner office, cash in that 401k.
That's it. Liquidate all assets.
Dibs, this is one.
I've had so many jobs that I got so many 401ks, I don't even know where they all are.
You'll be dead, and your wife will just be pulling cash from all over the place.
We get checks in the mail, Coach. She has no idea either.
Cash for your, you know what, buddy. Let's go.
Okay. Oh, wow. I don't see anything going wrong with this scenario.
No.
The Niners win out. Easy schedule the rest of the way. Forget about you, New Orleans.
Yeah, if you lose, who cares? You just roll the dice. We're going to have fun. Give us something to talk about. I like it. I like it a lot.
Rob in Oakland.
Oh, Rob.
Rob, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. Your thoughts on yesterday's game.
Good morning, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Real quick, when we signed Jet McKinnon, we were going to use him out the backfield, you know, swing passes and all that kind of stuff. There was so much, like, misdirection yesterday. You had Sanders go in motion, go behind Mostert, but then the play went all right. Sanders is wide open on the left. Why don't we throw swing passes out the backfield? I mean, we don't throw anything to the running backs, but to get 3-4 yard little pushes. I don't understand it.
Interesting.
He wants to go straight over the middle, all the time.
Okay, appreciate the phone call. I guess I'll bring you in on this. I mean, McKinnon was brought in as a dual threat. I don't know if any of the other running backs are necessarily viewed that way. Breida a little bit, but he's been hurt. Mostert and Wilson are power guys, as we've seen. Tevin Coleman reminds me of that as well, but he did catch passes for Shanahan coming out of the backfield in Atlanta. So maybe we're not seeing enough of that. He wants to see more swing passes and, to be honest, truth be told, with the aggressive nature in which Baltimore plays, a few more screen passes could have worked yesterday, but not necessarily to second guess. It was a great game against a great team.
Yeah, and I like what the caller's saying. I think you put, when especially in that type of weather, you put the swing pass on, it puts a hell of a lot of pressure on those linebackers because they got to run from their position, full speed, out there to cover, and the running back's going to catch the ball, and he's always taught to be under control. So he could put his foot in the ground, in the dirt, and all of a sudden in that wet field, and that usually that linebacker's going to go flying by, and he's going to have to now, he's not going to be able to break down because he doesn't have the footing. So it's going to end up turning into an arm tackle, and usually the running backs usually win those battles. So I would like the Niners to start putting more pressure, especially on the perimeter with those little swing passes, those little flare passes. So all the running back's doing is, boom, he's sprinting to a spot, and now your linebackers have to get out of there. And thus, now the tight end behind certain things, behind that as well. And if the tight end releases, the running back, if he releases, sometimes the tight end is blocking the linebacker from getting there, and he has to run through him because it depends on the angle which he takes. So it does bring a lot, puts a lot of pressure on that linebacker as well. And at times, because that tight end's releasing, he'll go over the top and have to run the hump. So there's a lot of things you can do by design to put that running back out in space to make those defenses make adjustments.
If you're fortunate enough to watch this Niners team make it to the Super Bowl, would you want to see the rematch with the Ravens? I know from an entertainment standpoint, it sounds awesome, but there are, like, New England, for example, feels more vulnerable.
Yes.
I don't know if you actively want to root to play New England, but if you had that chance, the one thing
New
that
England.
Stands out
you.
To me with Baltimore, I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to be in it for the long term. I don't think so. And that's not to knock his ability to play quarterback. I think he takes too many hits. It's too physical. Russ knows how to get down. Garoppolo's taken a few too many hits, to be honest. Aaron Rodgers knows when to get down. Lamar Jackson plays like a running back, and it's part of the exciting style. It's part of why he's having so much success. Love the kid. I think he is great for the game, but he does not strike me as a 10-year quarterback.
No, and it doesn't have to be a 10-year career, especially if he's able to make it a 10-week career from here, and you end up facing him in February, and he's not yet injured, and he's playing like he played yesterday, but on a Miami field that probably won't be a sloppy track in the first weekend in February. I know the Niners are going to Florida this week for the time between the two games, and there is no forecast for rain, so they're going to enjoy weather that we're not enjoying here. But you can imagine him on a fast track, playing with the confidence that he has right now. I'm hesitant to say this, but give me New England and Bill Belichick. Even though with a 30-minute halftime, what he's able to do in the Super Bowl has been proven. The adjustments that he makes year in and year out in the Super Bowl, that's dangerous. The only thing more dangerous to me than his brain are the legs of Lamar Jackson right now.
Florida and Miami, that's a question mark for weather, because the last Super Bowl there was Colts-Saints, and that one was good weather. And then the one before that was Colts-Bears, and that was awful weather, if you remember. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for the Niners. The Niners have played two really, really lousy weather games on the East Coast. The 9-0 game against the Redskins, and then yesterday's game against the Ravens. I think if you have those two situations presented in front of you, and you get these two outcomes, you walk away from that saying, that's all right, I'll take that. You beat the Redskins, which you had to do. You took the Ravens down to the wire, and you showed that you belong. The beauty of this team, and this is what I think people around the country are starting to realize, agile, mobile, versatile. And the third one's the key, versatile. Look at what they can do. Look at how they're built. They can win indoors. They can win outdoors. They can win at home. They can win on the road. They can win in good weather. They can win in bad weather. They can win playing defense with a questionable offensive performance. They can win with a solid offensive performance and a questionable defensive performance. They have shown the ability, like a chameleon, to change its colors, to find a way to adapt to the environment and put themselves in a situation with which they can win. They don't always win, but there are teams around the NFL where certain teams can't afford to get into a shootout. Certain teams can't afford to get dragged down into the mud. Kansas City's a great example. Kansas City wants a shootout. You saw what happens when Indianapolis brought them down into that physical, defensive, power-run football game. They could not withstand that. They could not withstand that. You see it all around the NFL. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, believe me, they don't want to go outside on the road in primetime. That's a weak spot for them.
there are teams that cannot handle certain situations. The Niners, to me, anything you throw at them, they've shown they can do. They can do low scoring, high scoring, outside, inside, bad weather, good weather, you name it.
Yeah, when you can play defense and run the ball, you're always going to be able to in any game. That's why give me Kansas City. New England still can threat to run the ball. You see, though, they won't give up on a run. Give me Kansas City. Kansas City can't run the ball with any consistency. They will. I know you look at the quarterback and you're like, oh, my God, he can do all those things. He can, but you will be one-dimensional. They will slap Kansas City around. I know Kansas City high scoring, all the different things they can do. Don't match up against the Niners. I don't like a team that can run the ball, and that's Baltimore. And then you look at New England. Yes, they're sloppy, but New England's defense is a lot better, and they will try to run the ball. Kansas City, Andy Reid and that team, no way. So give me Kansas City.
You see some of the throws old Patty Mahomes made yesterday against the Raiders.
It's
a couple
amazing.
Of back-footed sling jobs to Travis Kelce.
He tried to go across the field at one point, and the dude drops it right to him.
Right, yeah.
It was 20-mile-an-hour win yesterday, right. So the fact that Mahomes was making any throws is impressive.
He was slinging it.
He was slinging it. Jeez.
I think you're right, though, about the run game, because the 49ers, especially with that questionable Kansas City offensive line, they'd pin their ears back. They'd give Patty Mahomes an all-day sucker back there.
What's coming up on the game is sponsored by the first ever Al Attles Classic. Call of the Game is coming up next. If you listened yesterday or if you just want to take a shot at a $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's, light them up. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. We're picking one of you for a chance to win next. Witness basketball history at the first ever Al Attles Classic at Chase Center. Saturday, December 21st, the top college basketball teams in the country compete in a special one-day tournament. Local college teams include Stanford, Cal, and St. Mary's. Visit ChaseCenter.com for tickets.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
I find it strange that you would wear clothes to bed.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, light them up. 888-957-9570. If you want a chance at Call of the Game, $50 to Schroeder's, 240 Front Street here in San Francisco. 888-957-9570. I'm telling you, the phone lines are clear right now. So first one through is getting a shot to win this thing. You probably have a better chance of winning if you know what the Call of the Game was from yesterday's game against Orlando. But if you want to come on and just take a wild shot, we had a guy come on and get some football highlight once.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel catch, which turned out to be wrong.
Yeah.
It was shocking to me,
you got
to
shoot your shot. If you don't shoot your shot, you've got no shot. And I don't know how much of the game he watched yesterday, the Warrior game, but pretty darn good game effort hanging with Orlando.
Very
like
competitive. Very competitive game.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Did you see Clay Thompson as a sideline reporter last week?
Hell
I think
job.
You were off during
highlights
that.
Of it. I saw that he was doing it. I thought it was brilliant that the team is recognizing, you know, this season isn't as competitive as it's been in years past, so let's find new and creative ways for people to be able to get access to their stars. Whether Clay's hurt or not, people love him. They love to hear what he's up to. They love to see him. They love to hear from him. It was a beautiful move to do that. And I know Steph's got some stuff that he was doing.
He was doing some of the pre and post.
There you go.
As well.
Stuff like that.
Entertaining.
The people love these guys. And I know they're busy, and I know they got the rehab going on and a lot of that stuff. But the more of that we can get access to, the better. They're beloved individuals.
They did a great job. Clay was funny.
He was very funny.
Yeah, he's funny. He had some dry humor. He does a little call, talks about the slam, throwing it down. He did a good job. And then he dropped the mic on him and said, you know what? I don't want to take you guys' jobs. I'm out of here.
You sound terrible. You sound absolutely terrible. How much paper towel is shoved up your nose?
It's a ream, Joe. It's actually officially a singular ream.
Amazon. I rip, Joe, like probably an inch. Then I roll it nice and just, you know, won't have the drips. So I got them both plugged up here. We're fighting through this thing, though. Nothing like a warrior. You know, if you're a warrior, you just got to go in there and go. Hey, that's about serving, boys. I'm a part of the team.
I've never seen a big, tough guy like yourself felled by a running nose so quickly.
Tough.
I've never seen a guy who is as tough, as big and as tough as you.
Say black guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah,
he's not going to go big, tough black guy.
No. I don't see color, Lo. I live in Oakland. What I was going to say is I've never seen such a big, macho guy be so humbled by just a runny nose before.
He's a teddy bear at heart. You should see the beautiful Christmas setup at this young man's home. I say that I'm not joking.
Instagram.
I came in this morning, Facebook.
I came in this morning. I saw that Christmas tree. It is beautiful. And I'm not messing with you. That really did. Since I've gotten older and had kids,
yeah.
The holidays, I'm way more into it than it used to be.
You're getting soft on us.
Without question. Without question, getting soft. Love the holiday season. Used to not necessarily care. It was time off. It was bowl games. It was whatever. Now, I saw that Christmas tree yesterday. I'm not saying I almost cried, but I thought it was a beautiful Christmas tree. Mm. I think your family did a wonderful job with that. It looks really lovely. That seems like a very, very warm living room to be a part of. It's a nice job. You should feel good.
As long as I pay for it, it's just, yeah.
You played your role.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's okay. See, Joe likes it, but it's okay, Dibs. But the thing about, you know, the Christmas tree, they're supposed to decorate it. They don't decorate it. That's the thing. It's like, oh, let me hire someone to go do this elaborate tree, you know. So sometimes it can be a little much, but it's a nice tree.
Well,
15 footer. You think
whatever,
I'm glad
whatever
you
the
love
situation
it.
Is in terms of cost, I know that's all on your plate. I thought that everyone involved did a very wonderful job. It is a beautiful Christmas tree. Dibs, you will love it when you see a picture of it.
I just have now punched it up, and my God.
It's beautiful.
Nothing like vaulted ceilings. Looking right at it right now. It's all pink and white, and there's ribbons, and there's gigantic ornaments. That tree's got to be 15 feet, Coach. Yeah,
that's the holidays. That's Chevy Chase right there.
Man.
But, like, way more organized. Way more organized. All right. D in Oakland. It's time for Call of the Game, brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless. Hopefully you caught Warriors wrap-up Saturday night, Sunday night, I'd say. The game was yesterday, with John Dickinson and Matt Kolsky, and heard the Call of the Game. We're going to our friend D in Oakland. D, this is your chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's Restaurant, located at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. What was last night's Call of the Game?
Last night's Call of the Game was when Willie Cauley-Stein had that, basket/rebound/basket.
Okay. Gentlemen, that's the guest, Willie Cauley-Stein. Could you play the highlight for me?
Burks over to Pascal. Cross-court skips Draymond. Finds Cauley-Stein the lane. Blocked from behind by Isaac. And it banked up and in. They tipped the ball up and it went in.
He was trying to get it out of the hands. And all of a sudden he passed it up and it just trickled in on perfect English.
Cauley-Stein gets the credit for the hoop.
That's one of the most fortuitous baskets I've ever seen.
We got news. That's another winner. $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's. Next game is tonight. They've got Atlanta, tip time 4:30. Watch out for the Hawks.
Man.
And, you know, tomorrow, 9:30, call in. You got a chance to win again.
Yes.
$50, though, no rollover.
No rollover. And if you saw that play that is referenced as the play of the game, he gets swatted. The ball goes down behind him, and he's just trying to gather it to go back up, and he accidentally slaps it behind him, and it goes up and goes in the basket. One of those truly, truly crazy plays.
Do you think, okay, someone asked this earlier on the Chilton Auto Body text line, so I'm going to fire it Lowe's way. Why are so many professional defenses with time to prepare, struggling so mightily to limit the Ravens? No one's going to stop the Ravens. It's stupid to come out and say, yeah, you're going to stop. You're going to shut down Lamar Jackson. But to even limit them, they seem to be able to do what they want. The best thing I heard, and I can't remember who said this yesterday, the Ravens play every play like it's 4th-and-1. And that hit me. That was like, wow. Every play is like them on 4th-and-1 with the way they block and the way they get after it. So why is it so difficult to try to limit what they're doing offensively right now?
It's different.
Okay, you're not feeling well.
It's no different than watching the Indianapolis 500, rather. And
that'd be a race.
Yeah, that would be. It's already put me to sleep to 500. So 5,000, I'd really be asleep for a couple days.
Shout out Lewis Hamilton, by the way. The F1 season came to its conclusion in Abu Dhabi.
You always say they're always trying to prevent people from getting hurt, injuries, and making sure the car stays aerodynamic so it sits down on the track even more, but you never can solve it. That's what you're playing against with this Raven team. No matter what you do, no matter what you try to do, come up with, they're that fast, they have their game plan. You can limit them, but you're still not going to stop. They're going to hurt you. It's just because speed kills. Lamar Jackson, when he holds that ball and he reads in there, and you saw – the Niners did a great job. They had a week to prepare. They practiced this in the offseason. Teams know what's going on. Belichick's one of the best coaches in the, he's the mastermind. They crash those ends down. You have to crash and hit the running back. If you don't, he's going to give it every single time, and that running back's going to be gone because they're going to run it to the bubble side, wherever the bubble is. The guard is going to block down. They block that one technique, and all of a sudden the tackle, he's going to go up to the back or scoop up. And if you don't crash that end down, that running back is going to eat you up. So what they've taught to do, when he rides in there, Joe, the end's got to crash down and he's got to hit. He's got to do that. The linebacker has to flow outside of that thing and try to take it away. He's got to outside and got to turn it in. And because Lamar Jackson runs at such high speed, the linebacker's still just sitting there. And sometimes he can run by the guy because he's so fast. It's just hard to defend. And then you say, oh, I'm going to bring pressure. Well, they bring the fullback across and they have the tight end lined up there to that side. There's no free hits. So you can't, they protect their quarterback. So you don't get a free hit on him. So that's what's tough about this thing, because they're like, no, we're not going to allow you to have a free hit. I'm going to bring that big fullback who's throwing near 300 pounds across the formation. And if your guy go out, he's just going to go inside there. So it is hard to slow this thing down. I don't care how you prepare for it. Too much speed. They got a physical back. They got big tight ends.
Mark Ingram is a great signing. Mark Ingram, that's going to go down as one of the best free agent signings of the year.
He's physical.
I mean, that was one of those, okay, you know, they're bringing in a veteran running back. We'll see what happens here. Mark Ingram is perfect for what they want to do.
It's a no-cut running back system. It's here's the ball, go straight ahead. And if you don't give him the ball, he doesn't have to worry about going left or going right. For Ingram, it's just, I'm going straight ahead. Find that small little seam of a hole, and if not, Lamar's going to pull it and keep it.
And if he pokes up, man, you got to realize, they run into that bubble, and they understand Lamar, this guy, Ingram, can pick up 4 to 5 yards. And you watch him. When he goes, it's straight ahead. It's no fair dodging. And they said, just win. If you get 3, 4 yards, now you're looking at 3rd and 2. Now what are you going to do? You're going to sell out and bring blitz?
Staying ahead of the sticks.
Yes.
They're always ahead of the sticks.
That's why people are like, oh, bitch, you stop this. Have fun. There's a lot of guys smarter than me out there still haven't slopped it.
Let me ask you this. Nick Bosa yesterday, largely absent from the broadcast. That doesn't mean he played a bad game, but you didn't hear his name as much as you normally do. He finished the game with one tackle. That doesn't mean it didn't make an impact, but it feels like these games against mobile quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, both Arizona games against Murray, the Seattle game against Russell Wilson, it seems like that's where you hear the least of Nick Bosa. Is he playing poorly in these games? Because I know Dibs brought this up earlier, too, and we're trying to get to the bottom of, is he playing poorly, or is he handling his responsibilities, but his responsibilities just aren't glory responsibilities?
Absolutely. It's do your job. And they're exciting. That's why I talk about guys like Drew Brees, and you look at what they're able to do. They're able to come after those guys because they know those guys are going to be there, and you can run more line stunts, you can run more pits, ETs, all those different stunts because of the fact the offensive line, they don't have a chance of protecting the quarterback. Run a lot more stunts, and that's why Nicky Bosa, you know, guys can get home against statuesque quarterbacks.
Excellent stuff. All that knowledge that Lo just dropped all over your own individual grilled cheese heads.
Oh, my.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. We got Monday Night Locks next, and these are big locks because if the Seahawks win tonight over Minnesota, Niner fans, I hate to tell you this, but at 10-2, you become the number 5 seed in the NFC. Back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
They had the Jets combomulated
on 95.7 The Game.
They most certainly did. I don't know who they is or are, but that was hilarious.
The Bengals. Bongles.
The Bengals. That was from today?
That was from a very long time ago.
Shout out the Bengals. They got to win. I mean, that's going to be an interesting top of the draft board. If you're of any talent whatsoever in college football, you don't want to go to any of those teams. Look at the crap that's going to be at the top of the board.
Man.
Cincinnati, Washington, Miami, the Giants. It's like, can I play in Europe? Sorry. Yeah.
The fastest one of those teams.
Your NFL Europe defunct.
Out of all those bomb teams you mentioned, the fastest one to rise out of all of them, it will be the Dolphins.
Yeah, without question. They got tons of capital. They got a good coach. They got a nice little plan in place.
They
do. They're fighting hard. Washington's dysfunctional top to bottom. The Bengals are too cheap.
Too cheap.
And ultimately, what's the other one?
The Giants.
They need to get back to their ways. The Giants have strayed too far from the path. They need to go back to what got them where they were. A defensive-minded team.
Physical.
Run
right,
the football.
Right, right.
Play smart quarterback play. Stop trying to be what everyone else is. Be you. Just win. Build your team for your division and build it for your stadium. There's a reason for years the AFC North big physical quarterbacks, Big Ben, Joe Flacco, guys that are from the Northeast, Andy Dalton, I know, but Baker Mayfield coming up there, you need to be able to withstand bad weather, lots of wind. Josh Allen, the Buffalo, made sense. You know why? High winds. Allen's got an arm that can cut through. There's a reason the Bears were so hesitant to move on from Jay Cutler. You need big arms, certain players, certain schemes. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, understanding that nasty, cold Northeast weather. We're going to take advantage of it. We're going to build defensive teams that can run the ball. That's the key. Understand your division. The Giants, play some defense, run the football.
Do you think because of those elements, the things you laid out so eloquently, do you think that's the reason that made the Bears go in that reason, made passing on all these other quarterbacks, said Trubisky, big, physical, cold.
I think Mahomes is bigger than him, though. I think Mahomes is a bigger, more physical guy, but he's from Texas. But Trubisky is in North Carolina, south of the Mason-Dixon. It ain't all that cold down there.
That was a recency bias play. The guy had one singular season at Carolina and had one pretty good year, and then they thought that was the guy. But ultimately, just terrible, terrible talent evaluation in Chicago.
What are we doing tonight? Let's evaluate talent. This is big. The Niners, Jerry Rice came on and said, you know what? I don't care about this stuff. When he was playing, he might watch the game, but he didn't care. He was just going to handle his business. He's not rooting for other teams. Well, Niner fans tonight are rooting for Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, because if the Seattle Seahawks win tonight at home against Minnesota on Monday Night Football, we're living in a world where a 10-2 record has you have the 5 seed in the NFC. Doesn't mean it's over, but yikes, is that unfortunate. So here's the scenario. 3-point spread right now, or 2.5, depending on where you look. The percentage of tickets, 71% on Seattle. This is very good news for the Niners, that the tickets are on Seattle, but the line is moving the other way. That indicates the money is on Minnesota. I know a couple guys who said last night, if the threes pop back up, they're going to be jumping on it. It's a system play based on the math. Minnesota off the bye. Look at how Seattle has performed at home this season. 5 home games are only 3-2, with an overtime win over Tampa Bay, a 1-point win over Cincinnati, and a 1-point win over the Rams, in which they missed a potential game-winning field goal. They're 1-4 against the spread at home. The only thing that worries me, and I really like Minnesota in this spot, but the only thing that worries me, can Kirk Cousins rise to the occasion, or will it be too much for him?
I think it's going to be too much for him, and I like Seattle. If it's 2.5, I love Seattle. If it's 3, it's one of those ones where you don't think that you're going to get beat. You might end up with a push, because I think it's going to be that kind of 20-17 game, which, by the way...
Ooh, the total's 50. You see it a little bit lower scoring?
I do see it much lower scoring, especially when you look at a Minnesota team that hasn't been that good on the road, 3-3 on the road. They're not going to ask Kirk Cousins to throw it all over the park. It's going to be Dalvin Cook against Seattle's run game. I see a low-scoring game in this one.
How are you seeing this tonight?
I'm an opposite of that. I see this as a very high-scoring game. I think that you look at how Minnesota's built. When they're playing well, they're scoring. They don't win low-scoring games. If you look at Minnesota, they have to open it up. And you look at the vulnerability for Seattle. You can throw the ball on them, and you can run the ball on them. I think this is going to be an over. I think this is going to be Russell Wilson's going to show out. I think both these quarterbacks will have their time to have their time to shine. I think this is going to come down to this could be coming down to the team with the ball last. I think it's going to be a very, very physical game. And you can't just necessarily count them out, because if you look at these guys' record, what's going on? And this is what gives me hope about Minnesota. I'm pulling for Minnesota. I know Niner fans should too. You think about it, Joe. They got the Lions. Minnesota should win that game. Then they got to go to L.A. They got the Chargers. They should win that game. They end up with the last game of the season, they got the Bears. They win it. But in between that, they have the Packers. And now, if you look at where they're at, they're saying, okay, we're one game behind the Packers. We can take care of our business, and head-to-head, we got a chance to be taking that – winning our division. So I think that this is going to be a very, very spirited Minnesota team, not the Minnesota team we're used to seeing. I think they come out, and I think they punch Seattle in the mouth, and you're going to see a dogfight, Dibs. This is going to be a dogfight. Monday night, under the lights. You're not going to see this team not turtle up. Not Monday night.
I do like the matchup.
I like this matchup.
It's not Miami-Pittsburgh or some, one of those, I'll bet it, but I don't know. I won't like it. Yeah. I'll bet your game, yeah. NFL, but I will not like it. So that's where we're at right now.
Where are you at on? You more the total?
Minnesota plus 3. If you can get me the plus 3, that's the play. Now, again, it's just I'm telling you what the smart guys like.
I got you.
That's it. And if you follow the smart guys 100% of the time, you're going to turn a profit.
What about the tote? Over, under?
I hadn't even thought about it. Okay. You got me all gassed up, and then you came in on the under. I'm looking at 50.
I know.
My first thought when I see 50 is go under. In the NFL, that is. In the NFL, the second I see 50, I go, all right, let me make a case for the under here. That's a lot of points. But I've seen Minnesota on the road. That game against Dallas, they put a ton of points on the board. Speaking of Dallas, welcome to the show. Daryl the Guru Johnson.
I miss
how you
guys.
Doing? How
was
your Thanksgiving?
Okay. I had a little load management. You know, was off a couple of days. Reset, ready to go. Battery on full.
How you feeling?
I'm fired up. I just watch football weekend, and there is an epidemic of bad coaching. And
really?
The Niners luckily don't have that. But there was no reason in that monsoon yesterday for you to pass when Mostert was gashing. When you pack your running game and defense in the luggage for the playoffs on 4th and 1, you do not pass it because you treat it like a 4th and 5 with everything that's going on, Dibs. They should have ran the ball.
Well, you look at the play, and I know you've seen it now 8 or 9 times, yeah. And you look at the gap control
on, the tape.
On that play. Baltimore had 10 guys near the line of scrimmage. And the safety was only about 5 yards deep. My problem was not so much with the pass versus run, but the formation. If you had the quarterback under center, you would at least, as Joe was saying, you'd have the threat of run.
What?
Then if you want to go ahead and throw it, go ahead and throw it. Because the play at a shotgun, they had diagnosed it defensively, and he had nowhere to throw that football.
My problem with
that,
and I hate every 4th and 1 scenario that isn't a sneak, I hate. But I also understand why teams don't do it. The one thing that gets me is when you put him in the shotgun, you take the sneak off the table. When the sneak is on the table, you're going to have defensive linemen diving to make a pile so the linebackers can come flying in to hopefully stop the quarterback from getting there. By doing that, by at least having that threat, if the linemen go down, guess what they're not doing? Standing and putting their arms in the air. So they can't knock your
pass
down.
And the Niners have been killing with the sneak. Is there any other team that's been more successful with Garoppolo looking like he's getting, maybe the Eagles, 3 yards
when he does
the quarterback
successful sneak?
Why didn't you? Hey, who am I to second guess? But I just want to put this right on the table. The Niners got a kicking problem. And if you think they don't have a kicking problem, in the 2 games they lost, they had chances to get the ball through the upright, Dibs. And to me, what? Robbie,
Golden kick against Seattle.
Okay, but still, you miss both. You
but,
miss kicks in both games. That's a problem if you're trying to get to the championship pedigree.
What about when you look at that and you talk about goal? When the first couple of weeks when everyone's saying he was struggling, he didn't have his set snapper, didn't have his holder. So you're talking about a you're talking about
no,
the
I pay
operation.
You to make kicks, bud.
But the operation one. But I can pay you to play kicks, but if they spin the laces and they're facing towards you, it's hard to make kicks. So I agree, but I just think that because we were on that this morning too.
Yeah.
I just think we got to let it play out first a little more.
Do you still think the snapping and holding is of the issue here?
I'm not saying now. I think now his leg was just tight and the ball was tipped. But I just think that early in the season, without a doubt, it was the operation.
So there are a series of problems that have led to this big problem.
No,
but the reality is, if you clean up each individual thing, you should be fine.
No, in my opinion,
you got a kicker who's not 100%, and you're in
that.
A situation where, to your point, Chase McLaughlin looked pretty good while he was kicking. He was 7 of 8. Robbie Gould, 2 of 8, Guru, on kicks.
That is
more than 40 yards.
20% is.
Two of eight.
My opinion, eliminate the field goal entirely.
And wow.
Let's start going on 4th down. Let's get nuts. You want to get loose? Let's get loose.
Get crazy.
Get the field goals
out of there.
You can get the punts out of there, too.
Crazy.
Keep the punts. Get the field
goals
out of there.
And what's this new fair catching? On the kickoff, just get rid of the kickoff.
No,
started at the 25. Let's go.
It's genius because what happened was everyone always played for the kickoff to eliminate the return. But then they changed the rule to the starting on the 25. Now the math has you a quarter of the way down the field, so teams are trying to get creative. So now the kickers have gotten so good, the best thing to do is to plant you on the 2. Forcing you to run it out.
Yeah.
It's beautiful because more times than not, you're not getting the 25. Here's the problem with that mindset. Now everyone's taking advantage of the rule where I'm just going to fair catch from inside the field of play, and I'm going to get at the 25 anyway.
It's football and football,
match.
Right.
It's
a little bit of soccer mixed in.
Ridiculously
now.
Boring chess match
right.
of all chess matches. But the other gimmick, too, is if he's kicking it to the sideline, take 1 foot and step out of bounds and catch it while you're stepping out of bounds. Then you'll get the flag. Because the ball is being touched by someone out of bounds.
Yeah, that's just
so there you go.
Amazing.
That's it for us. See you tomorrow, 6 a.m., 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.